Welcome to this special edition of Insight for Living, as we kick off what promises to be a refreshing new holiday series from Chuck Swindoll. On this Friday program, we'll hear the first in a brand new sequence of three Christmas messages, each one carefully crafted and delivered by our teacher, in order to prepare our thoughts for the significant holiday just 12 days from now. As we get started, let me suggest that you turn in your Bible to John chapter 1 and also 2 Corinthians 9. Chuck titled this first message, "The Gift That Still Saves Lives."
I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You follow along as I read the first five verses of John 1. By the way, John's gospel is unlike any of the others in that it provides a profound prologue to the whole subject of Jesus. The prologue lasts 18 verses, and then we get right into the story of the Savior's ministry. There is nothing of the nativity scene in John's gospel. It's a very unique gospel. But there are things here that the other three gospels do not include. And this first part of the chapter will be that which is not found elsewhere. And here we are introduced to a scene you will rarely visit as we step into the throne room of eternity past. So you find your place to John 1 as I'll read for you from this first chapter, the first five verses. And then we'll look at verse 14 before we look at 2 Corinthians. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. Nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Verse 14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. And Paul writes at the end of 2 Corinthians 9, "Thank God for this gift. Too wonderful for words."
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called "The Gift That Still Saves Lives."
Sometimes the gift we give is even better than we thought it would be. The year was 1977. The time was around mid-September. The place, Moline, Illinois. Terry Schaefer had been thinking for a while about what she would really love to get for her husband, David. She had thought about it long enough to realize that it was a pretty expensive gift, maybe one a little too steep for their policeman's salary, which they had to live on, the two of them along with their children. But she was still determined that it might be just the thing. It certainly was what she really wanted him to have. Well, a day arrived, and she decided to stroll the streets of Moline, and nothing on the main streets stood out. And so she took a turn and went down one of the side streets, and, well, there it was, behind a big plate glass. So she asked the shopkeeper, "How much?" He said rather curtly, $127.50. Her anticipation sort of eroded into disappointment. She realized they didn't have that kind of money. And David would wonder why in the world she spent that much for a gift. And then she had an idea. Maybe the man would be willing to hold it once she gave a nice, maybe a third for a down payment. And then little by little, between now and mid-December, she would pay it off. Then he could gift wrap it and be just right. She'd bring it home and have it to go under the tree. They talked briefly, and she told him of having a police officer as her husband, and he's seasoned shopkeeper that he was, looked her over, and he said to her, "You know, I've learned over the years there are some people I know I can trust just by being with them, and you're one of them. Not only are you the wife of a police officer, I can tell by the way you talk. You've lived here quite a while, and you care about things that are important. Tell you, I'll do one better. Why don't you make the down payment best you can right now? I'll go back and gift wrap it for you. You can take it home with you and then keep it for Christmas, and you've got it. No chance of someone else coming along buying it, and then when Christmas comes, you can give him the gift. How's that?" Well, she was elated, and in a matter of few minutes, she was walking out the store all smiles. Unfortunately, Terry was a lot like the kids. She couldn't keep a secret. And so by that evening, they had the kids put to bed, and she said to him, "I just have to tell you, I've already got your gift. Here it is." So she gave it to him way ahead of Christmas. And he smiled and unwrapped it. And, oh, he hugged her tightly and kissed her repeatedly and told her how much he loved her and thanked her for loving him as much as she did. Fast forward to October 1. Patrolman Schaefer is working the night shift, and he gets an emergency call. There's been a robbery at a local drugstore not far away. He flicks on his siren and lights and makes his way quickly as he can. Just as he arrives, the suspect is jumping into his van and taking off. Patrolman Schaefer follows close behind. All of a sudden, for no reason, the van pulls over and stops. The officer realizes that this could mean danger, and he carefully gets out of his vehicle, lights still flashing, no one else around, and he approaches the suspect's car, gets within about three, four feet, and the door swings open, and out flashes a high-powered pistol and a bullet sent directly toward the officer's chest. The suspect jumps back in and flees the scene. 7 o'clock that morning, there's a hard knock at Terry Schaefer's front door. She opens it, and a chill goes up her back as two officers met her and said, there's been an event we need to inform you of. And they were very calm and careful in how they communicated it. Told her of the suspect, told her of the robbery, told her of her husband, and tears began to fill her eyes. And then suddenly, there was good news. Instead of being killed in a fatal gunshot wound, The good news was that he was in the hospital under review, but he was being checked out for a deep bruise on his chest because what she had given him had literally saved his life, a brand new bulletproof vest, just in time, just when he needed it most. Every Christmas, I'm grateful that God has planned ahead for all of us. Knowing our deepest need and realizing that we couldn't provide it for ourselves, we couldn't determine that which would save our own life, we needed help from Him. And because God is God and He loves us all, He planned something very, very creative. A gift, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9, a gift too wonderful for words. You and I know the gift to be Jesus, God's one and only Son. When Christmas comes, I often tell people, the place to turn in your Bible first is not Luke 2, which tells you of a baby born in a little shed behind the inn in ancient Bethlehem, but John chapter 1, which takes us far, far back, which requires some deep concentration, as great theology always does. We go back to what's called eternity past. Before there was time, before there was space, before there was matter, when the eternal decrees were determined by the Godhead. Think with me. The Godhead comprised of Father, Son, and Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent, who know everything and are able, therefore, to plan for anything. To use the word from John chapter 1, the Father and the Word and the Spirit. Knowing that there would be an earth that would be created, and knowing that people would populate the earth, and knowing that sin would ultimately come and dominate the people of the earth, there would have to be a solution for those people whom God loved and wants to spend eternity with. There would have to be a solution to that sin problem that separates humanity from deity. What could he do? How could that solution be provided? What would be the gift that would save our lives? You who are believers in the Lord Jesus know the answer. Most in this world don't. So another Christmas comes and goes, and they never link it to the doctrine of eternal decrees. It's only a nativity scene where there are a few angels and ultimately shepherds and finally the coming of wise men and a mother, a husband, and a baby. But most don't piece together the remarkable story of the Word, eternal as he is, breaking into time, and this gift being wrapped as it was in a miracle. Before we unwrap it and talk about the complications related to that, look with me into John 1, and again, keep your thinking caps on, because it will be in an area where you must only imagine, because we've never been anywhere near a place like this. That first verse can be complicated. Your Bible reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The problem is that verb, which suggests that it has a beginning. And that definite article, "in the beginning," when eternity has no beginning. I told you to keep your thinking caps on. Everything in our lives has a beginning. We were conceived on a certain date. We were born on what we call our birth date. When we die, it is recorded as our day of death. Our lives are marked and bordered by dates. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no beginning. So a definite article doesn't fit the scene in eternity. Allow me a paraphrase. In a beginning which really had no beginning, eternally existed the Word. And the Word was with the Father and the Spirit. And the Word was deity. The same was in the beginning, which really had no beginning, with the Father. All things were created through him. Many don't know that. They don't realize that the babe in the manger had, when eternally with the Father, created all things on this earth. Most think of the Father as the creator, when in fact the Father is the planner. The implementation of the plan was carried out through the Son. The Father does the planning. The Son implements it. The Spirit empowers it. Still with me? So we have the Father, the planner, the great planner, who realizes on this earth there will be people in great, great need. And therefore, there must be a Savior to deal with the sin issue. The problem is, how do you bring the sinless Word among a sinful people without contaminating the Word with sin? How could he come and remain sinless as God gives the very best gift of heaven to us? Well, that means that the wrapping of the gift must be very carefully planned. God had options, but the only one that would work is to bring the infant in embryonic form, actually in the tiniest form, as the Spirit of God impregnates the egg of Mary, who is a virgin, and a conception takes place. It's really the virgin conception. We refer often to the virgin birth, and we understand that because she, upon giving birth, was still a virgin. Joseph had not touched her intimately until following the birth of Jesus. But to be technical about it is a virgin conception. And God wrapped that Word in her womb in a miracle. Never before to be done and never again to be repeated. And in bringing this embryo into his fetal form and ultimately 9 months into birth, the God-man makes his presence onto the scene of this earth, admittedly in a lowly stable in ancient Bethlehem, without sin. He did no sin, he knew no sin, he had no sin, which is extremely important for the Savior, since he must be a sinless Savior. And therefore, the importance of a virgin conception. The wrapping must be a miracle. Don't let anyone ever tell you that the virgin birth isn't really all that important. I was teaching a Bible class shortly out of seminary in the city of Dallas years ago, and happened to be a class of mainly ladies in this Monday morning gathering. And one of the ladies said to me, as we were having questions and answers at the following class itself, she said, "Really, is there all that much significance in the virgin birth?" And I said, "There's a great deal of significance." She said, "Well, I asked my pastor yesterday, and he said he's never been worried about the sex life of Mary," which is a rather impudent answer. He should be worried about the sex life of Mary. For in order for the Son of God to be delivered to this earth in a sinless condition, he must be in the womb of a virgin, a woman who never has known a man, must be born in that innocent state, preserving his sinless condition. Now, John moves from the eternity past to the moment of time when the baby is born as he gets to verse 14. Look at it with me. "So the Word became human." Your Bible probably reads, "The Word became flesh." And that's true. Even though God in flesh, he was man. And to this day, most don't treasure him. They see him only as an historical individual who started a religion called Christianity. They don't claim him as Savior. They don't declare him as mediator between God and men. They don't call him Lord. Neither did those in his own day.
We started today's program with a powerful illustration about the surprise Christmas gift a policeman received from his wife. How gracious of God to deliver exactly what the officer needed long before this couple experienced a life-threatening event. You're listening to Insight for Living, and the first message in Chuck Swindoll's 2019 holiday series is called "The Gift That Still Saves Lives." Well, Chuck, at midnight on December 31st, we'll be closing the books on another year. And with the urgency of that annual deadline, we're asking every listener to join us in giving generously so others will hear about this gift that still saves lives.
Dave, I have a personal theory about Christmas. It explains, at least to my satisfaction, the mystery of its magnetism. You see, for years, I've wondered what draws people into the Yuletide mode. Sure, some of us get turned off in early October when we see all those fake trees popping up at the mall. But somehow we can't resist the spirit of the season once we find ourselves enveloped in the sights and the smells and the sounds of Christmas. Now, why is that so? Well, my theory, I think, explains it best. Christmas scratches the itch of grace deep within all of us. It provides an opportunity to do something tangible for someone else, with no agenda for ever getting paid back. It gives us a chance to counteract that selfish streak we all hate in ourselves. In the simplest of terms, Christmas prompts us to demonstrate grace. Our Lord knew exactly what he was talking about when he taught that it is more blessed to give than to receive. As another year comes to a close, I'm inviting you to scratch the grace itch by joining Cynthia and me in giving financially to Insight for Living Ministries. In this hostile, me-first world, people are craving just one gentle whiff of God's goodness and grace. And when we respond today, Our simple act of generosity will be transformed into that irresistible sweet aroma of grace for someone we may never meet this side of eternity. Of this we can be sure. We will never regret responding to the need. Please jot down our contact information and follow the Lord's prompting. When you do that, you'll become an elegant bouquet, a sweet fragrance of God's grace, here at home and all around the world. Let's do this together, okay? Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. And here's how to respond today. First, you might find it convenient to send us a text. If you're listening in the United States, just text the one word INSIGHT to this number, 555-888. Again, text INSIGHT to 555-888 and follow the simple instructions. Or to speak with one of our ministry representatives, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. And then finally, you can give online when you visit insight.org. Thank you so much for doing your part by giving a voluntary year-end donation to Insight for Living Ministries. Once more, if you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org/donate. Join us again Monday when Chuck Swindoll continues his message about the gift that still saves lives, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Gift That Still Saves Lives, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.